Okay, continue the Rambam, Hilchos Avot, Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel, Chapter 6, Law 3. We're continuing to discuss the laws of Shloshim now. The Rambam listed five of the overall categories that continue into the 30 days of mourning, and now he goes into the details in Halacha Gimel. B'tisparas Ketzad, what do we mean that there's a 30-day prohibition of taking a haircut? Kishem she'as l'saper kolsa argufa o legalech shvamo o lakutsi parnav b'chli kol shiva. Just like one is prohibited to shave any of the hair on his body, or to cut his mustache, or to cut his nails with a utensil during those 7 days. Kach aser kol shloishim yom, so it is prohibited all 30 days. Bameh etvar murni, when do we say this prohibition exists?
66 is, I guess it's a mismatch.
What?
Nothing. This is number 66 in the English translation.
What 66?
I don't know.
It just should be footnotes.
Whatever.
Don't worry about it.
Anyway, but when do we say the speech by a man? Avol be'isha, but a woman muteris benatila seir la'achar shiva. After the shiva ready, she could cut her hair. But va'ish at shloshim yom, but a man until 30 days. And frankly, val avi valimo, and for father and mother, it theoretically goes beyond 30 days. What do we mean? Chayev legadol sa'aro. He has to let his hair grow, but at shishalach pera. What does that mean? Until it grows a lot. We'll explain that in a minute. Oh, the way the text we have right here says, oh, or at shigaru bo chaverov, or his friends are admonishing him, that they're telling him that your hair is too long. It's time to get a haircut. There are different texts in the Rambam, where they say the text is for his father and mother, only the words until his friends scream at him, which,
because otherwise it'd be a year.
Well, it says to grow long. No, it's either way, it doesn't say for the year, but there has to be a certain criteria met. It's not merely the 30 days. Now, the Radvaz maintains there's a scribal error in the Rambam, and he says it should be until the hair grows long and the friends scream at him about it. And that seems to be the correct one. That seems to make sense more on the Yerushalmi as well. Now, the Kesef Mishnah commentary on the Rambam says that the screaming of the friends only helps after 30 days. Within 30 days, it's nothing. So, and that's how we hold. In other words, you must go 30 days. After 30 days, it's not an automatic haircut. There has to be people telling him, okay, you need a haircut now. Okay, so you really have to have somebody telling you right when you're finishing the shloshim, or start, if the shloshim is done, someone has to say, okay, you look disgusting, take a haircut. Okay, if nobody tells you that, what if the guy just took a haircut before he became a mourner, right? And he already has a beard, a trim beard, whatever.
Yeah,
so could be maybe it doesn't look so bad after 30 days. So it wouldn't be an automatic. But generally speaking, most people after 30s don't look good, but you need someone to tell them that they do not look good.
So you're biting your nails for a month?
Or you could do this.
Well, that, but you know, no clippers.
You don't have to bite. I have to check. These are minutia details I always have to look up whenever people ask me.
But who's the one who should be responsible? Does the rabbi do that then? Because people won't generally go up to people and tell you.
First of all, person's spouse. Wife can tell you. That's one reason you have a wife. Many other good reasons. But that's one reason you have a wife. Or your friends say it's time you're looking really bad. It's time for your haircut. If you don't have any friends, it's a problem. Right? Then I've seen some people that didn't take any kind of haircut for a year. It looks
weird.
What
if your barber tells you?
But you don't go to the barbershop.
I'm joking.
Yeah. But generally speaking, you know, it's very rare that there's no one not going to tell you don't need a haircut. Dalid. V'chein osur lilbosh kelim levonim chadoshim umegohatzim kol shloshim yom. You can't wear clothing that are three categories: white, new, pressed, all 30 days. In other words, the idea meaning it looks really good. A new shirt that's white and pressed looks really good, and you can't go around that. Echad ish v'echad isha. But what if hayu tzivuim umugatzim? What if they're colored and they're pressed? Mutarim, that's okay, because the press doesn't look so sharp. In other words, when white shirt decrease, everything looks fresher and nicer when it's white. If you have a different color shirt, you know, it looks presentable, but doesn't look as,
during the Rambam slide,
if they're not new, even if they're white and pressed, they're not gonna be so, firmly pressed. Mutarim, it's allowed, because the press doesn't stay for long. Uklei pishtan, and linen garments, emershim goose, there's no problem with pressing, because the linen doesn't hold the crease so long. After 30 days, there's no problems with pressing, even when you're mourning for parents, that prohibition is gone. Now it's interesting, Rambam does not mention this, but in Yoredeya, the Rambam mentions there's also a prohibition to wear new clothing for father, outer garments, like shirts, things like that, for father and mother for 12 months. However, the Rambam says the custom is, that, and then he even says you shouldn't wear washed clothing. Okay. But if somebody wears it before you, then, and the mourner wears it, then it's okay. Even if it's very finely pressed. Certainly the same thing regarding new clothes after 30 days. This is one that's most nageya, that if you buy a new suit when you're a mourner, after 30 days, you have to have somebody wear it briefly beforehand, so it doesn't have that new
car smell.
New thing, right? So for half an hour, whatever, and they, and then that's fine, and that's really the halacha, unless you have no clothes. But we are kind of strict on these things, you know. If your mamish don't have any clothes, of course you can buy them. And you have somebody wear it for a little while, and then it's not that new clothing anymore. Okay. Yeah.
I asked you that question, but maybe I asked you because it was for my work. That if I could buy you some new clothes.
So I didn't tell you. What did I tell you?
It was okay.
It was okay. I didn't qualify it. And did you say you had no clothes?
No, I didn't say that. I just said during the year. I don't remember exactly.
And I didn't tell you that somebody should wear it first.
No.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Anyways.
What can we do? That's unusual. I wouldn't tell you. I didn't tell you that somebody should wear it or something.
Okay. Maybe you thought I knew it. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, or maybe I thought you didn't have any, and you needed new clothes. You didn't have new clothes, but you should really optimally.
Even still, you could still have someone
have somebody wear it briefly for you. Okay, let's move on to halacha hey. Now, next category, marriage. Binisuin Kate said, what does it mean you don't get married? You can't marry a woman for 30 days, meaning to bring her into your home to live as husband and wife. But you can give a kiddushin to her, even the day that your parent dies. Interesting, because the concept always is, maybe somebody else will beat you to the punch. Right? Even though there's a whole question, that you're bashert, etc. So there's a whole discussion of the Gemara there. But marriage is important, not to get married, but at least engage you, as they say, locked in, long-term, deal. So you don't have the great simcha of marriage, but at least you know you've got your bashert. And that is even allowed on Tisha B'Av for the same idea. Again, this is just a kiddushin, there's right. No meal, none of that stuff, even in the first 3 days, because that's too much simcha, but just, to give a kiddushin is okay. Umisha mesa ishta. What if somebody's wife dies? Now the question is remarriage. So there's a number of issues we have to understand. In kfarkiye mitzvahs period of a if he, in his first marriage he already fulfilled the mitzvah of being fruitful and multiplying and had one son and one daughter, point one, and also v'yeshlo mishi yishamshenu, and he has someone to take care of him, someone to cook for him, someone to take care of the house, and also v'ein lo banim, he doesn't have little children who need constant care. So then that's a situation where there's no rush for him to get married. He's not allowed to marry another woman until 3 holidays pass, which is Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. So
doesn't
have
7 months.
Well, it could be 7. It could be...
I mean, as little as 7.
Yeah, and it could be longer than that. Well, the longest would be, I guess, from
13.
If you, well, yeah, could be. If, yeah. Let's say right before Shavuos. No, right before Shavuos.
Oh.
Then you have Shavuos.
Oh, that's right.
Sukkot.
And then
Pesach.
Pesach and a leap year.
And a leap year, so that would come up to about 11 months and change. But the minimum would be from Pesach to Sukkot. So 6 months would be the minimum. Okay, so he's got to have three regalim pass by. Why is that? That way, already can forget the wife a little bit. No, and that's important because when you're remarried, it's not productive to be thinking of your first wife while you're married to the second wife. So if you have three regalim already, and there is, even though you're not in an amazing state of simcha, but there is a mitzvah zechachta v'chagecha, you still have to be happy on a yontif. You have to go to the Beis Hamikdash three times, whatever. And therefore that simcha will help you to forget the first wife. It's all based on a rush. And again, the idea is when you're with your wife, you shouldn't be thinking about another woman. And it's not unreasonable to think that a person who just was married to his last, let's say he gets married a month later. You don't think he's thinking about his first wife? And he's going to be with the second wife? It's not good. So there has to be three holidays at least to clean out his mind a little bit and to forget about that. I know, like, this is an issue that, always the relatives of the deceased wife, like, they get so upset if the guy remarries. You know, her body's not even cold in the grave, you know, and all these people at the shiva say, no, I got a shidduch for you, I got this, don't worry, like, it's, people are a little
bit. Does this work both ways?
Usually it works more when the guy is sitting.
I mean, there's a law both ways.
We're going to get to it in a minute, but I'm just saying. Generally speaking, when the husband dies, they know the wife's not getting a shidduch so fast because there's 20 women for one man, but one man there's 20 women waiting. So there, all these people got all their cousins and this and sister-in-laws
come to the shiva
who need shidduch. That's what they do. They start all bringing meals to the guy, especially when it's an older guy and there's a bunch of older women. You know, if a guy's like 70 years old and he's in a good health, all these widows, they're bringing in all the meals and because they're looking anyway. So then the mishpacha's upset. You know, the wife just died. He's ready looking for another woman. So, but the truth of the matter is, you have to remember, the Torah says, Lo tov heyos adom levado. It's not good for a man to be alone. And as sad as it is that the wife passed away, but the man now is entered into a lo tov state. He's in a not good state because he's not married. So he should be getting married sooner than later. The definitions of soon and late is up to you, discretionary. But certainly the wife dies, he shouldn't get married next week, you know. So here Chazal is saying, if you wait three yamim tovim, that's enough. That's enough to get married. I mean, theoretically, he could be dating already. But the three yamim tovim is the criteria. But that's assuming that there's nothing rushing things, because we've already said he's fulfilled the myth of being fruitful, multiply. There are no little children. He's able to handle himself. But Avol Mishalo Kiyam Mitzvah Spirit Vir. What if he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of being fruitful, multiply? It's not his permission to delay fulfillment of that. Or Shekiyam, or let's say he did have Yeshua, but what if he has little children? It's a bunch of little kids, and that father's got to go to work. So what's he supposed to do? So now you say, just get a nanny, right? But in those days, they didn't have that. Or Shekiyam Mishalo Kiyam Mitzvah, doesn't have anybody to take care of him. Then, Harez Amuto Lo'orso V'lichnos Miyad, he can make a kiddushin to the woman and marry her right away and live with her. However, first of all, love her, but he can't be intimate with her until 30 days, because at least a little bit of forgetting of the first wife has to be.
This is death, not divorce? Is this all this?
What?
Is this both death and divorce?
I don't see. Well, I don't know. That's interesting. Well, I would imagine if the man divorced the wife, he ain't thinking too much about
her. Yeah, that's not an issue there.
I mean, like, if he divorced her, remember, he was the one that didn't want to be married to her. So why would he be thinking about her? Well, I would imagine that halacha doesn't fit in here. But if the woman died, you're imagining he loved his wife, and therefore he'd feel very bad for that.
And also, Rabbi, as far as the yontif goes, so if she died just before Rosh Hashanah, right?
It's the three regalim. Rosh Hashanah's not a regalim.
Oh, no, okay.
Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot.
Okay. because I,
as
I,
those are the days
I
you have
know
to have
you talk the yontif of Simchat Torah.
I know that's different. It'll knock off shloshims, but that's not the regals we're talking about. To get married, you need three regals of Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. Now that's all for the man's side. So the earliest he could be intimate with another woman would be 30 days under pressing circumstances. What about the reverse? What about a woman now who is now mourning for her husband? Loti boil at shloshim yom. She can't be intimate with another man for 30 days.
Didn't you say 30 days?
Well, I know. Let's hang on. We're going to talk about that. But anyway, One second. Okay. Now, however, so generally we don't let her get married for 30 days unless there's a man who's a widower who needs a wife right away because he's got little kids and this and that. Then we'd allow the woman, even within 30 days, to marry him, but she still couldn't be intimate with him for those first 30 days, because that's already considered a joy, a pleasure. So that already is part of the laws of Shloshim. See, part of the law for you to be married to somebody new and to live with them, that already would be Simcha. So yeah, you can't do to be intimate in the first 30 days. However, remember, you're talking about a woman who's a mourner. Now, there's all kinds of mourners. See, we've made a few assumptions over here. If you look at the halacha before, it said, when we say here for 30 days, now, yes, there's another problem. If a woman is married to another man, we already know she can't be married for another 3 months.
Right.
So what's going on over here? So we're talking about a woman who was just a regular Avela, let's say her brother died.
Right.
Let's say she's single.
Yeah.
If she's single and her brother died,
so this is just mourning, sadness.
She's mourning for 30 days.
Yeah.
So it's halach of 30 days. But you're right, if she had a husband, then without question, it's going to be 90 days. That's not a question. One second. But she doesn't have to wait three regalim. Okay, because the truth of the matter is, and you're not going to like this, guys, but a woman really is able to forget her husband. It's interesting, I would never have said this. A woman is able to forget her husband easier than a husband to forget the wife. Okay, so therefore, after 30 days, she forgets her husband, right?
I would think it'd be the opposite.
Yeah, for sure.
But so a man needs more. Well, I would say like this, a man is more apt to having lewd thoughts. So he, while he's with the new wife, he will think about the old wife during intimacy.
Right.
The woman will be more of a loyal new spouse and won't think of the past.
Yeah.
And will, you know, and will not have those kinds of thoughts. So 3 months, if she was married and she's a widow from the 3 months she has to wait, but doesn't have to wait 6-7 months for three regolim, that she could have right away.
But what? Why?
Or 3 months?
This
scenario
where she can wait 30 days and then.
That's if she was not married before.
Right. Right. So you could. Why would the
now?
3 months?
Nobody. Everybody has to wait 30 days. Let's say a man.
Yeah.
A man who's single, and he was sitting shiva for a brother.
For intimacy. For Kedushin, we said.
Right. So for 30 days, he can't be married for 30 days anyway. Right. That's a straightforward 30
yeah.
days. You don't get married. Finished. A mourner doesn't get married in his first 30 days. So that's out. The question is, what's after the 30 days? So the Rambam isn't clear, but we understand that if she was mourning for her husband, of course she has to wait 9 days. That's a separate halacha. That's not a halacha of mourning. That's a halacha of marriage. That's why the Rambam's not mentioning it either. There's halachas of marriage, halachas of mourning. So for a man to remarry, okay, 30 days, he's a novel. Anyway, he can't get married. Question is, why can't he get married on day 31? The answer is, you know, what are you going to think about your first wife? So therefore, you got to wait three regalim. Unless you have little children, this and that, all these other things. The woman, on the other, again, 30 days, she has to wait no matter what as a mourner. If she doesn't have So well, she's not a widow, then she can get married after, on day 31. If she was married, and this was, she's widowed from this husband, well now that's another halacha in marriage, not halacha in mourning, and therefore he has to wait 3 months. That's what Ram doesn't mention, because it's obvious that we know that.
Yeah, but you could, why can't you do, separate, however, the two parts of the marriage, that at least he sort of ties her up, but
to get engaged.
To get engaged, yeah.
Not a problem.
Yeah, so that's the first part of the marriage, you know.
But we're talking, just doesn't, that's fine.
So they can do
but
that.
But that's what Ram was nisuin.
Yeah, so they can do nisuin, right?
We said no. The kiddushin you can do even on the day of death.
Really?
That's, we just said the Rambam. I feel beyond me. So
reserving.
That's all reserving. But we're talking about real living as husband and wife.
Yeah.
Then already you have to wait.
My father died 7 weeks before my marriage. It's Rabbi Kirzner's. We went to Rabbi Kirzner.
So it was after the month.
Right.
So that's not a problem.
We asked about music, and he says it all. What to do during the simcha itself, and he says it had already been planned. And we said yeah. He says, well, don't deprive the kala of this.
Right, because she's entitled to that. That's right. Okay, Vav, we're going to the next topic. Cannot go to social gatherings. Simchas Mareis, a joyful, friendly get-together. Now, it seems in those days, they had certain types of invitations that were given, that when you went to somebody, certain types of invitations, it was expected that you're going to invite them back. It's like almost like you owe them. I don't think we have that concept now. I mean, okay, someone invites you, you feel you should invite them. But it seems in those days, there was like, we invited you, and like you owe us a meal invitation back. And it's like very insulting if you don't, maybe people don't have so much money. I don't know, but you'll see in a minute where this falls into play. So he says, that kind of social gathering, that they already were owing somebody. In other words, let's say you went to a friend before, you were a mourner. A couple days later, your father passed away, whatever. Now you owe that family an invite to be with them, but now you're a mourner. So that you could pay back right away. If it's that kind of owing invitation, it's like paying back a debt almost.
This is hosting.
Yeah. Well, either way.
After
the Shiva, but it's still, but you could, it's an indebted social visit.
But if they owe you, are you allowed to accept?
Well, I guess it goes the same, well, I guess it could, but I don't know, maybe
the more. Also doesn't say how large the gathering is.
Well, it's usually not that big. Usually
so that could affect things, okay.
I think if you owe somebody, I don't know, but if you owe them, you could pay them back. And then mutar, lasos, niyad, lakashiva. After the Shiva, you can do it. Because you got to pay him back. But if it's the type of invitation that you don't owe him, but you know, okay, I had him over. Okay, he'll have me over some time. But it's not an owing one. Then also likanes lo ashoshim. You don't go for 30 days for a regular mourner. Zayin, Bamed, Marmor, when do we say this? Bashar Kol Mesim, for a regular mourner, for other people who have died. But for parents, Beka, it doesn't matter if you owe them mamish a return invitation or it's just a nice thing. Lo, Ikones, Lechim, Chasim, Chasmeres, you don't go to a jovial gathering at Shneim Asor Chodesh until 12 months.
Well, how would we define
okay. Now, however, if there's certain types of mitzvahs, gatherings, certain types of sudas mitzvah, depending on what they are. After 30 days, certain ones are allowed. They give an example in Yeridah. If somebody marries, she may see, however, let's say an oval makes a shidduch between two orphans, okay, and he has to be there to make sure that the wedding goes through, then certainly after 30 days he can be involved in that, etc., etc. And there's a whole different lists of simchas, some minor ones he could, but not weddings and things like that.
Yeah, but a simcha and Shabbos.
So then again, it depends. There's different piskei halacha on that. The general, again, real social gatherings.
On Shabbos.
Even on Shabbos, you shouldn't be going to. A real social gathering, like a fun time. Even on Shabbos, it still should refrain from it. Okay, if you're just going to a friend on Shabbos, just for lunch, I don't know if that's a major social gathering after Shloshim.
Bar mitzvah.
Okay. Bar mitzvah is also not so pashut, even on Shabbos. There's different shitas on that. And certainly after, listen, you can go to shul. Going to shul is fine. It's the party and all that. That's where those are not allowed.
But I thought the fact actually, that you remove yourself from it, it's almost looking like you are mourning on Shabbos.
Well, there's always people who don't take part in simchas. You know, it's even on Friday night when we dance, there's always a few who are not mourners who don't dance. There's just people who don't dance, so it's not like you're wearing a ripped shirt on Shabbos. You're just not partaking in it. You're not doing that. So sometimes you're not involved. You're out of town, whatever. So that the fact you're not doing anything, we will not say that's public mourning on Shabbos. And generally social gathering. I mean, if you're there to have a fun time, you're not there to have fun times during the year. What?
Hakafot.
So you get to do just one. You go around once and that's it. And you don't really do a lot of dancing during the year. Listen, there some people are lenient in it and I don't really see where it belongs. But there's minimal, as each one comes, you ask a shiloh, there's certain smaller types of simchas that are not so major. You go more of a sudas mitzvah type of thing. But more of the, just the social simcha ones, really, definitely not. Okay, ches. We do one more. Al kol ha-meisim kulam, for anybody who you're mourning for, mutar leilach bischar lachar shloshim. You go out of town on business after 30 days. Okay. And those are, even though they're a bit of a joyous types of occasions, even going for business, okay, because you have to do business. But that's generally speaking for regular people for 30 days. Interesting. Alavi valimo, but for parents, achigo bar chaver, then it's more than 30 days, but not, doesn't be much longer, so until his friends scream at him again. And they say, come with us. In other words, it becomes, and obviously it's going to incur great financial loss, and certainly he can go out of town. We're not talking about so much financial loss, we're going to think he's kind of weird. So therefore, and they're saying, listen, you have to be with us already. And they're getting upset that he's not joining in their things. So under those circumstances, it would be allowed. Okay, we'll stop over here for today. And Mr. Shem tomorrow will finish the parrot.